As we gather this Palm Sunday morning, may we proclaim, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.
Let's stand and sing our prelude. I don't know what it's called. My brain is just totally fried right now. Let's just stand and sing.
Worship on this Palm Sunday morning. Holy Week has finally arrived, and as we gather this Palm Sunday, may all our worship, our songs that we sing, the scripture that we read, our prayers that we lift, our very beings proclaim what we just sang. Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. If you're a first-time guest with us this morning, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. I encourage you to fill out a visitor's card that's located in the pew in front of you, and you can just drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. For those who are watching us this morning online on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us online today. Reminder that you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up the worship bulletin for our service today and use that as a resource for this worship hour, but also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you are a first-time viewer online, welcome, and I encourage you to send me an email. Let me follow up with you this week and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. We gather here to worship on this Holy Week. Let us celebrate this Palm Sunday morning. Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord.
Prepare the way.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 118. Listen to these words. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in this festival procession, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And we can proclaim that this day and every single day, that the Lord is good and that his love endures forever. Let us pray this morning. God, we gather on this day to begin a week of contrast, from hope to despair to hope again. And as we begin this week, as we join with the crowd, help us to cut through the noise to see what is happening, to see what is at stake. As the story unfolds, open us to both the hope and the pain. In this time of worship, prepare us to celebrate, to weep, and to wait. We pray in the name of the one who leads the parade as we share the words he shared with his closest friends. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Let's stand and sing all three verses.
Glory, Lord, and honor, to be redeemed.
You may be seated.
Our Palm Sunday worship is just the beginning of numerous opportunities we have to gather this Holy Week. We will gather back here at First Baptist Elon this Good Friday on April 18th at 7 p.m. as we host the Community Good Friday service this year. We will join with First United Methodist of Elon and Elon Community Church to remember the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. As the central image of that service will be the cross, as it captures us during this Good Friday. Now, as part of that worship service on Good Friday, congregants will have the opportunity to approach the cross and leave flowers and herbs as a reflection of that sacrifice. And I really hope that you will join us on Friday night at 7 p.m. I encourage you to invite your family and your friends as well to join us on Friday night for Good Friday. I hope you will join us. I hope you'll come. We know the community will come as well. As a part of that service, we will also be collecting a love offering for the Elon Elementary School food pantry that they have there at the school. So if you so choose, you can bring a part of that offering and place it as a part of that service. We will again gather as the Elon community on Sunday morning, April 20th, Resurrection Sunday, for our sunrise service. Now, this service will take place on the campus of the former Elon Homes for Children at the Holt Chapel at 6:30 a.m. on Resurrection Sunday. Now, we will be outside. I'm praying it will be a little bit warmer than it is today, but it is always a wonderful time to gather with the community as we worship together for the sunrise service. If we will be outside, weather permitting. If it does rain, we will be inside the Holt Chapel. So I hope you'll join us as we celebrate the risen Lord as the sun rises on Easter Sunday morning. Now, later that morning, back here at First Baptist, we will have a light fellowship breakfast here in the fellowship hall at 9 a.m. That'll be followed by our normal Sunday school hour at 9:45. Our children will be having our annual Easter egg hunt at 9:45 as well. If you have grandchildren or other children and neighbor's children that are coming that morning, please let Gay know so she wants to make sure she has enough eggs hid that Sunday morning. Then our Resurrection Sunday worship service will take place at 11 a.m. here in the sanctuary. I hope you'll invite your family and your friends to come to that time of worship as well. It will be a day of celebration as we proclaim hallelujah to our risen Lord. So I hope you'll join us this week for Holy Week worship here at First Baptist and as the community here in Elon. I hope you'll reflect on that alleluia as we lift praise to our Lord and Savior. Now at this time, I will call on Deacon April Riley for our offertory prayer.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, in this Lenten season, we once again think of your great love for us. We see it stretched out upon a cross, and we stand in awe at your great sacrifice, pure love poured out for all who will accept it. We give you praise and honor for giving us the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. May our tithes and offerings reflect our thankfulness for this immeasurable gift. May we glorify you with our songs of Easter praise and worship, and may our hearts be open to receive your message for us this morning. Help us to measure up in our love of faithful service for everything you have done for us. Amen.
This is the story of a journey propelled by love, the love of a mighty God and the people he had created. It's the story of perfection that was destroyed, of mercy that was extended, and of God's faithfulness through it all. Despite humanity's rebellion and disobedience, God's plan to set things right kept unfolding. there were times the Almighty's voice thundered with judgment. Sometimes it was a song of comfort. For 400 years, he was simply silent. Then one night, in the town of Bethlehem, everything changed. As a boy, Jesus roamed the hills of Nazareth. At 12, he stood in the temple and spoke of tending to his father's business. At 30, he was baptized as John proclaimed him, the Lamb of God. Then for 3 years, he traveled throughout the land healing the sick, delivering the broken, loving the outcast, and even raising the dead. At last, the road turned to Jerusalem. As he rode into the city, crowds greeted him the way they would greet a conquering king. Jesus knew what was waiting ahead of the journey that had taken thousands of years, descended into deep shadows. Powerful religious and political forces aligned to destroy him. One who had posed as a faithful follower betrayed him for the price of a slave. But first the Lord would eat the Passover meal with his friends. He had one more opportunity to show them his love and prepare them for the coming day. In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed alone. The first drops of blood that he would shed on our behalf trickled down his brow as he surrendered to his Father's will. Soldiers arrived to arrest him, and the long night of trial and torture began. He was sentenced to death by crucifixion. He was stripped and scourged and mocked. And then he carried his own cross up the hill of Golgotha, where he opened his arms, submitted to the nails in his hands and feet, and laid down his life willingly in your place and mine.
Were you there when
the hillside that day, the message Jesus had come to deliver was unmistakable. God loved us so much, he would do whatever it took to save us.
Thank you, worship choir, for our special music pieces today. If you would, once again, join me in prayer as we prepare to encounter God's word this morning. Lord Jesus Christ, whose greatest moments of triumph happen on the back of a donkey's foal and nailed to a bloody cross, we gather to prepare the way for you in our lives and in our world. There are so many people and things that call for our allegiance, so many kings seeming to rule over us, but you ride into our experience as another kind of king, a serving, humble, and challenging king who calls us not to slavery, but friendship. There are so many things that seek our energy and resources for their own sakes. So many kingdoms seeking our souls for their own glory. But you ride into our experience heralding another kind of kingdom. A kingdom where the least are the greatest, where the meek inherit the earth, and where children are the best example of citizenship. A kingdom which seeks to bring life, not drain it. There are so many things that draw our attention, so many realities that seek our faith and assent, but you ride into our experience revealing another kind of reality, a reality where death does not have the last word, a reality where pride, selfishness, and evil are defeated by love and self-giving, a reality which does not parade itself for all to see, but fills every moment, every situation, and everything with life while waiting for us to discover it. And so, on this day, we cry from our hearts, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Again, I want to say thank you for joining us this morning for worship. Thank you for joining us this day at the beginning of Holy Week on this Palm Sunday morning. Palm Sunday is the holy day where we remember that Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where many gathered along the roadway to lay palm branches and cloaks as he entered on a colt. It was basically a first century parade. Now, I want you to raise your hand this morning if you like to go or watch parades. Go ahead, raise your hand. It's okay. Good job. There you go. I see a few hands. I see a lot of hands over here and not many hands over here. Now, that's a little strange, I say, this morning. Okay. Well, that's okay. I need to make a confession to you this morning. I would be sitting on this side of the crowd this morning. I am not a big fan of parades. Now, I get quite bored quite easily at parades. Now, I will watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade every single year. And I like watching Disney World parades when we go to Disney quite often, just to see the characters, though. It's not really about the parade itself. Most of the time, parades for me move a little too slow. It's just not fast-paced enough. They oftentimes last a little too long, and they interfere with whatever is supposed to be happening next, whether it's food to eat, you know, good food to eat, football to watch, or other activities to get to. So I feel a little bit better today that I'm not the only one that doesn't like parades. I feel a little better getting to confess that to you this morning. I'm not sure how I would have felt about the parade that occurred on the first Palm Sunday. I mean, what if you were on the way somewhere in Jerusalem and traffic came to a complete standstill? Now, you may be saying today, well, oh, I would have just joined in. I'd have loved it. Now, wait a minute for a second. You all know how you act when you get stuck in standstill traffic in your car, right? You know, I know how I get. I just like, oh, yes, yay. I don't get to move. I get to sit here in the same spot for 30 minutes. And it's because everybody's looking at what's going on the other side of the lane, right? You know what I'm talking about? Rubbernecking. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. We don't like to be stuck in the same place. Would you have been up for a parade that was not even on the calendar? Nobody knew that it was coming. As Jesus was nearing Jerusalem, he told two of his disciples to go ahead of the group, and there they would find a colt nobody had sat on. He told the disciples to tell the owner that the Lord needs it and then bring the colt back to him so Jesus could ride it into Jerusalem. This was to fulfill a prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. These were very prophetic words. Remember, we never hear of Jesus riding into any other town that he visited on a donkey. He was always walking in, but not this time. This was the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. He was telling the people of Jerusalem. Jesus was professing to the people of Jerusalem, here comes your king. The people of Jerusalem are lining the streets, shouting, dancing, and celebrating, at least those that realized what was going on. Matthew 21 tells us, and the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The people are really getting into this parade and celebrating the arrival of Jesus into Jerusalem. As always, we know that there were people there that were not very happy about Jesus' arrival. But the entire city was stirred up, and the Romans were on guard. Remember, this was the beginning of the Passover celebration, and for the Jewish people, thousands of Jews had come to the city for the Passover. This was a time of great celebration because of the miracles that God had performed to get his people out of slavery while in Egypt. Can you imagine some of the people in the crowd that day? There would have been maybe Mary and Martha and the newly revived Lazarus. Maybe there would have been Bartimaeus, the man who was born blind but now could see. Maybe Zacchaeus made the trip into the city with Jesus. What about the lepers who were now clean and they came to give thanks to Jesus? Or Jairus and his daughter who Jesus had brought back to life? Or the mom and her son from Nain, who Jesus also had brought back to life. The centurion and the guard who Jesus healed. There would be the women, probably led by Mary Magdalene, and so many more followers and curiosity seekers who wanted a glimpse of Jesus to see what was he going to do in Jerusalem this day. But there were also faces of the ones who were against Jesus. The Sadducees and the Pharisees were there. They were supposed to be the keepers of the law, the spiritual leaders of the day. But Jesus' popularity led them to feel threatened. So with hatred and jealousy, they looked on at the parade. They were waiting for Jesus to make one mistake. One mistake, and that would be it for him. That is, until they discovered Judas's weakness. The Romans were also there too. They also feared some sort of revolt. That happened before, so especially when the city was ramped up like this, filled with people, they were ready for any sign of rebellion. Their job was to stop and thoroughly crush any uprisings. Jesus fully understood what was happening as he listened to their hosannas. Soon those happy voices would turn into the voices which would cry out, crucify him, or simply just stand aside and say nothing at all. So let's this morning read the Gospel of Luke and see his account of this day and seek to understand why Jesus, on this day of a great parade, shed tears at the parade. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44 this morning. The words will also be displayed on the worship screens behind me this day. Reading the third gospel's account of Jesus' triumphal entry. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." So as Jesus was descending along the road from the Mount of Olives, he stopped walking. They were not sure what was happening. The disciples and everybody else, they weren't sure why Jesus had stopped. Maybe he was going to say something to the people. Maybe someone had touched his garment and was healed. Maybe there was others who needed healing and that's why he stopped. Something was about to happen. The look on Jesus' face said it all. The smile and laughter all of a sudden was gone. There was a look of pain. The pain turned into sorrow. That sorrow turned into tears. Jesus was weeping. On what seemed like a great day for the disciples and Jesus, here is Jesus weeping over the city. After 3 years of teaching and preaching and healing, they still did not get it. Jesus knew it. He understood what was happening and was what was going to happen. And the thought of not only the present reality, but the future reality of how many people would actually reject him in the city. This city, Jerusalem, it just broke his heart. You may wonder why Jesus would cry if he knew what was going to happen. But how many times do we cry at movie scenes we know are coming because we've seen them before, or we cry every time we see them again? We know what's coming and we shed a tear anyway. On certain events happen and we know that they're going to happen. We can predict that they're going to happen, yet we still seemed surprised by them. Remember, Jesus was not only 100% God, fully divine, but he was also 100% human. He experienced emotions the same way that we do. Jesus recognized the prophecy from Isaiah that I mentioned just last week, that the people had eyes, but they did not see. They had ears, but they did not hear. They missed it. They missed the message of God. And it was the physical presence of God that they missed. They were expecting this great king. The man would lead the nation to the greatest moment as they would go to war and defeat their Roman oppressors. They would gain freedom, and Israel would be a great military and economic power once again. But way back in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told the people to love their enemies, to turn the other cheek, to give away your cloak, to go the extra mile. This did not sound like a warrior king that they were expecting. The nation of Israel had the opportunity to show Rome something new and something different. But because they did not understand Jesus, because they completely misunderstood his mission, Jesus wept over them. And because the opportunity would take them away and would never have it again, these were God's people, God's chosen people, and they missed it. God loved them and led them across the wilderness into the promised land, but they did not understand the Messiah when he walked in their midst. Because of that, what did Jesus do? He wept. He shed tears at the parade. So as we look at this story about Jesus riding into the town, it was the Prince of Peace riding into town. The Messiah was riding through the streets of Jerusalem. The Redeemer, the Savior of the world, could be touched, could give you his autograph, and they missed him. Like so many of us, they wanted God on their terms, not his terms. They wanted a mail order leader, but they got a suffering Savior. They ordered a ruler, but God sent a servant. They wanted a king with a throne and a crown, but they got a crown of thorns and a Son of God hanging on a cross. They did not understand. He came to liberate their souls, not their cities. He came to deliver them from eternal punishment of sin, not from a temporary earthly dictator. To conquer death, hell, and the grave, and to defeat the armies of the kingdom of darkness, not to destroy the Roman Empire. Like so many of us today, they were living in the here and now. They were not worried about what was right, let alone about eternity. And so what did Jesus do? He wept. He wept for them. And he said to himself, if you only knew, things could have been different. You are headed for destruction, and I am trying to save you. God sent me to you, for you, but you do not recognize the day of my visitation. These were God's chosen people. Yet they did not understand or accept the Messiah when he was right there in their midst. And what did Jesus do? He wept. He cried. He looked out and saw the towering temple of God silhouetted against the sky. But he could see beyond that to the future years where the Jews would revolt and the temple stones would be taken down and the city leveled. Thousands would die as the temple would be destroyed. It all could have been avoided had they believed in Jesus. All of that because they did not recognize the Messiah when he came. How different their lives could have been. How different the history of Israel could have been if they had only recognized the one who came into town that day, riding on a colt. And Jesus wept for the city. But it extends beyond the borders of the city of Jerusalem. It goes beyond all the big cities of the world, from New York to Beijing, from Moscow to Paris, London to Los Angeles, Tokyo to Chicago, Raleigh, Charlotte, Greensboro, Burlington, Gibsonville, and even to the tiny little town of Elon. Jesus looked out that day, and he saw all the people who would reject him. He weeps because we gather in our churches on this day to wave palm branches and shout, Hosanna, but in many ways that we have turned our backs on God. Like Jerusalem, we have our religion, we have our churches, but we are missing God's presence in our midst. Jesus looks out over our cities and he sees the abuse, the addictions, the sin that runs rampant through society. He sees lives that are torn apart, hearts that are empty. He sees loneliness. He sees individuals in need of a Savior. Jesus sees it, and what does he do? He does the same thing he did on the road that day. Jesus weeps. He cries. Is Jesus weeping over Elon? The answer is yes. Does he cry out, Oh Elon, if you, even you, had known, trusted, believed in me, then on this day you would have peace. But since you have chosen to reject me, that peace you have longed for is now hidden from your heart. Those who wanted to anoint Jesus as king cried out, Hosanna. But soon those cries would turn into, Crucify him. So as Jesus looked out at the faces in the crowd, Jesus, the hero of the day, stood weeping. In closing this morning, as Jesus looks across the town of Elon, as Jesus looks across our sanctuary this morning, he comes to offer forgiveness to all who will come to him. What a gift he comes to offer. If you accept Jesus and the forgiveness that he offers you, that is great. That is wonderful. But the question that follows up with that is this: are you living the life that he wants you to live? What does Jesus see when he looks your way this morning? You may have shouted and sang along with the crowd that morning, but in your heart, have you made Jesus your King of Kings and Lord of Lords? When he looks at you, does he see a devoted follower or does he see a deceiver? Does he see one proclaiming Hosanna, or does he see one who will later shout, Crucify him, just like those on Friday? Friends, we have an all-powerful God who has come to save you and me. He offers us peace, he offers us grace, and he offers us love and power through him. Have you asked Jesus into your heart, and is he leading you? Have you asked Jesus to change who you are? Or maybe you have let go of Jesus and moved through life on your own, but you now realize how much you need him. Maybe now you realize that, man, I need to embrace him like those on the road needed to embrace him that day. Now would be a great time to come back to him. And maybe now you realize, as Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem that day, he wasn't just crying for those at Jerusalem. He was also weeping for you. Let us pray. Father, what a day of rejoicing and celebration Palm Sunday is, but we have to recognize where this week leads us. It leads us to people who turn their back on you, who proclaimed, Crucify him on Friday. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving and caring us for us so much that you sent your son, and that as he saw the world, as he saw the pain, he didn't turn his back on us. He wept for us. That shows his love and his care and his compassion for us. May we shed a tear for him and embrace him this day on this Palm Sunday morning. And may it carry us through so we can proclaim him as the risen Lord on Resurrection Sunday, 1 week from today. Thank you for sending him. And thank you for loving us in that way. Amen. As we come to our closing hymn this morning, maybe today for the first time you recognize that Jesus was weeping for you. Maybe you recognize that you need to embrace him as your Savior for the first time. I'll be down front. Come and let me share what that means to embrace him. Maybe you've embraced him before, and maybe you've kind of ventured away from the road. Maybe you need to come back to Him. I'll pray with you. Come down to the altar. Lift a prayer to God. This is His altar. It's not my altar. But as you come, either one of our deacons or I'll come and pray with you. Maybe you need to get back on course this Holy Week. Whatever decision you need to make, make it today. Don't put it off. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. As we leave this place today, may we know that Jesus is weeping for us, but we can embrace that love and take it out to a world that is in need. That's what His disciples did, and that's who we are. That's what we're called to do. I hope you will join back with us here on Good Friday for our community Good Friday service at 7 o'clock. It'll be a wonderful time to embrace Him, to remember the last words that He spoke from the cross, and then join back with us on Easter Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday, for our celebration. Go in peace and go in love this morning.